really be able to help him out too. Paper. She's helping us with paper. Anybody else that's seen paper? I'm going to offend you guys if I sit down in that great chair right there.
Do it.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. You want water?
Tonight, we're going to kind of set a little bit of a groundwork and establish some things. And most of you guys have been around me teaching in some way, shape, or form. I'm pretty unconventional, but I do take it serious. And I'm not stressing if you guys got questions or whatever, it's a problem. But I do want to establish why this lesson's important. And we'll go through this. I'm not trying to be super spiritual right now, but I do want us to pray real quick. And just, I want God to help us. I really want God to talk to our hearts. I don't want to waste your guys' time. We don't want to waste God's time. And we don't have a lot of time. We want to make it worthwhile. So let's pray. Jesus, God, we're excited about these young people.
Thank you.
God, we're excited about this series. God, I ask that your Spirit, your anointing, would visit us here tonight, God. Give us understanding. Help us, God, to see it the way you see it. God, I mean that.
We
see it the way you see it. And the value that you have in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you hand out slides? No?
They're all online. Yeah.
This is not Brother Preston's fault. This is my fault. I'm not a big technology guy. So I send him notes. He does his best to try to get my brain, which is a pretty crazy attempt, and make slides. So if these things kind of go out of sync or whatever, it's not his fault. Okay? It's because I'm not, leading or whatever. So, we're going to start do you have it as 1 Timothy on the slide?
I can jump around, so don't worry about
it. 1 Timothy 2:15, and it's actually 2 Timothy. I blew it on that. So, 2 Timothy 2:15.
No, I don't. Sorry.
And it says, to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This word, we're going to kind of mess with this stuff. And I don't want anybody to listen. Everybody is going to attack this different. But there's a value in it for every single person. You think, oh, that's just for ministry and all the rest. You're crazy if you think that. You're absolutely crazy. And we're going to prove that out with Scripture. This word study to show thyself approved. This word show means... And you guys are going to learn all about this next week on how to do this. But to place beside or near, to show, to set at hand, to present. So we're going to study to be able to present yourself approved unto God. You guys, that's your job as a saint of God. It's not ministry. This is Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, and he's saying, listen, Timothy, let me tell you something. He called him his son of the gospel. It's our responsibility. You need to study, and here's why you need to study. Because there's coming a time where you're going to have to present yourself. Okay? You're going to have to present yourself. You're going to have to, later on it says, crimp my legs. You guys are going to have to prove. That word prove. Study to prove thyself. So, to appear, to present. So this word means a lot. He said, you're going to have, this is your responsibility. And where we really get ourselves in trouble is when we begin to think that this is just for people that are in ministry and all the rest. So what we're going to go through tonight, we're going to have to move quick, is what is personal study? What is the purpose for personal study? Basic 12 themes of the Bible. We'll go quickly through them, and how personal study will change your life, which is probably the most important part of that. Study simply means a devotion. This is Webster's. This isn't some Bible dictionary. This is Webster's. Study is a devotion of, number one, time. You study for school and you have homework, it takes time. Okay? When you study for a big test, it takes time. And so why would we think and take the Bible and think that I could come about it in a manner of flippancy and just kind of piecemeal through it and be prepared to prove something out? I'm just telling you, I'm not being ugly. It's not going to happen. Okay? Now, you say, well, I'm just getting where I'm kind of locking myself down. I'm taking these classes. I'm trying to get more serious about this. And up to this point, maybe I haven't. No problem. This, whatever this class is, it's not for anybody to walk out of here feeling condemned. You hear me? I already know in the series it's already what you guys have already gone through, and I already know where it's headed. That's not what this is about. This is prodding us to good works and helping us say, hey, that's where I need to be and that's where I need to head. So please, when I go through this, I'm not picking at anybody. But I know I come across a little strong and a little pointed. So I'm not. I'm really not. Okay? So, devotion of time and attention on a subject. This is Webster's, especially by books. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about studying the Word of God. We are going to look at that in a little different light. But anyway, number two, detailed investigation, which is the fun part, let me tell you, and analysis of a subject. I love that part. I love it. Nobody were here a few weeks ago, Brother Preston taught on the altar. He preached on the altar. You guys are here? Well, it prompted some stuff in my head. Okay? I want you guys to catch this, okay? I've been raised in this. I'm in ministry, whatever. But I'm sitting there. We're just being blunt. Preston's younger than I am. He was in our college and career class years ago. And I'm sitting there, absolutely getting fed by this young man. And prompting stuff in my mind and start digging. Next week, boy, I start digging through some stuff. I got a message right now. I can't wait to get it out there. Prompted through his teaching and me going back and digging down an avenue that was prompted while he was preaching. Okay? It never stops. The Word of God's alive. And it's through not just taking it at face value and saying, well, that's interesting. Well, okay, just move on. No, saying, wait a minute, there's more to that. Okay? Our pastor was teaching something on Sunday morning. He's preaching Sunday night. He made a statement. Our pastor, who's probably the most unbelievable preacher on the face of this earth. You say you're saying that because he's our pastor. No, I'm not. Go to conferences and all the rest. You'll have a hard time finding somebody that'll surpass it. And as I'm doing it, I'm like, man, I'm going to look at that. I started digging. I was on the phone with him last night. I said, hey, listen, I've been digging. Da, 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 da. We were having fun with it, okay? Because of this wanting more and digging. And when that happens, and I'm getting ahead of myself, when that happens, stuff gets ingrained in your spirit. Mm-hmm. Nobody will ever get out. It'll be being preached again. They're like, oh, yeah, I remember when I studied that out. Da, 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 da. Many times I'm saying it, and you're not saying it because you're trying to prove something. You're saying, hey, I studied that. You know what that actually, I'm telling you, it makes it fun. It makes it fun. The Word of God becomes alive. Because if you just read it at face value, and you start going through the lineage in Leviticus and all the rest, I'm telling you right now, you say, well, I can't believe this person said that. You're going to get bored, and you ain't going to want to read it. You hear me? You got to figure out what works for you in study. So, detailed investigation and analysis of a subject. Okay? Author unknown. The Bible is God's word to man. Those who believe this don't approach biblical study lightly. When you start reading through it, realizing it's God writing to you, okay, there's a little bit different. It's like somebody walking up to you and saying, hey, for us guys, look what this girl wrote me. Your buddy's reading and saying, well, okay. Or girls, look what this guy wrote to me. Oh, that's interesting. Or if it was written to you, it changes quick, real quick, for you to read on that piece of paper and say, I think I'm in love with you, and it's written to your friend, you're going, oh my word, I can't believe you said it. If it's written to you, something's different. And when you start reading the Word of God and say, That's not just written to Brother Preston and Brother Booker. No. God took time to move on holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to write that to me. That's written to me for my admonition. He's wanting to lead and guide me. 2 Peter, and I think I messed this up. I've taught this for a couple of years. I have it as 1 Peter in my notes, and it's wrong. 2 Peter, there you go. That's wrong. Wait, no.
Okay, I don't have
No, that is, I messed up. I messed his notes up. You guys, you're going to forgive me. It's 2 Peter 1, 18 through 19. And it says this, because everybody wants, you hear me? Everybody wants that moment where they're praying and God meets them. And we heard Brother Booker preaching about it on Sunday when the angel of the Lord came to Mary. And then she's trying to convince Joseph that the angel of the Lord came to her and says that she is with child. Okay? Well, what a moment when this angel comes and begins to speak to her. Well, everybody wants an experience like that in a sense. But I'm going to tell you what it says in Peter. He says in this voice, talking about when the voice spoke to them when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard, okay, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Let's just think, pick three buddies or three girlfriends, and you guys are there, and you're in a prayer meeting, and this voice comes from heaven and says, "Thus saith the Lord." You go, whoa. You guys won't believe what happened. We were praying the other night, nobody was here. And God started talking to us. I'd be listening to whatever you had to tell me, okay? But listen to what he says. Verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in our hearts." Verse 20 says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21, "For the prophecy came out in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost." That's how the Scripture was written. Okay? So, what he's saying is, can I give it to you in Adam terms? Hey, it's nice to hear a voice, but I'm being real honest with you. I've watched people get messed up with voices. "Well, God spoke to me. He told me I was supposed to do that." You're going, but it contradicts everything in Scripture. I think you were listening to pizza. Because it's not God talking to you. Okay? He's saying, you may hear a voice from heaven, but I'm going to tell you what, you'll never go wrong with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Never. Never. You will not go wrong with the Word of God. You say, "Well, what if God's speaking to me?" I'm going to tell you right now, this is what this lesson's about. If it contradicts the Word of God and the man of God, it ain't God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If it coincides with God and with the Word of God, then God bless you. You just had a really neat experience. So, personal. Looked at study, personal. Private, individual, claimed. This is important because you come to church and you hear preaching and it's and you're writing. And it's right. It's scriptural. You're writing on the coattails of the study of the man of God for that night. But when it's personal, it's private, individual, claimed, it's intimate, it's you and God, it's peculiar, it's secret, it's special. Someone came to me last week and began to ask me questions out of the book of Ezekiel. Exactly. I was like, "Oh boy, here we go. Ezekiel, couldn't you pick Acts?" They started asking out of the book of Ezekiel. And I'm telling you, I was blown away. I was like, whoa. I mean, they had really been digging. And God was really doing some neat things. And I was sitting there saying, "Keep talking. This is great. You're giving me a great bunch of material." So, anyway, you're not going to take that from that person. You're not going to get it back. They got that in a time of study. Okay? So, remember that study is not strictly the Bible. The gaining of knowledge and how it applies to my life, you get it from history. You can get it from biographies. You can get it from all kinds. It's just knowledge that we're gaining. And I got to speed up. So, in Scripture, I don't have a lot of time to spend on this. It'd be neat if we did. We don't. There's four types of knowledge. I'll name them really quick, then we'll back up and go through them really fast. But we'll get a little more into this next week. When you see a word and then you get into the Strong's and the Greek definition. There's four, you could see in four different verses it would say knowledge. There's four different definitions or types of knowledge that it could be. What they are is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, sunesis, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, phronesis, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. They all have different letters that coincide. They're Strong's. Okay? So, gnosis denotes simply knowledge by itself. It's knowledge that's out there and available. It's just knowledge. Usually in reference to spiritual knowledge. Sophia adds to this. It takes gnosis, but it adds to this. And it adds the power of reasoning. It's there's wisdom in it, and when and how to use this knowledge. And which, anyway, okay. Then, sunesis is more of critical knowledge, or the apprehending, or the understanding. It's not just knowledge, but it's understanding. It's not just the concept of 2 times 2 is 4, but it's the concept. Go ahead, sorry. You gotta raise that hand higher, I don't even catch it. Okay.
How do you
call sunesis? S-U-N-E-S-I-S. Okay, so it's more the understanding. It's the whole. It's not just knowledge that's out there, but it's understanding it. Nobody gets scared right now. I'm just letting you know that there's depths of this that go deeper. And Zach, I don't know what he's talking about. It's the whole concept of it, putting it together. And then phronesis takes it even deeper. Okay. Practical, suggesting lines of action. This is what is said of phronesis. You can look this up just in like Webster's. Is when somebody is actually, in a sense, living gnosis. Somebody who is, it's the practicality of it. If somebody is enacting phronesis, it says right in Webster's, they are a virtuous person. It's that knowledge and active. To me, now we're getting into opinion, the best example of that would probably be John 1 and 1. The beginning was the Word, that knowledge there. And it became flesh. Now it's enacted and dwelt among us. And it enacted everything that was written already. Okay? That's phronesis knowledge. God had a complete knowledge, complete understanding of it, and then he acted it. Okay? So, if you want to get deep, you can get deep quick when it comes to just the knowledge of God and the things of God. Okay? So, on your paper, I don't want anybody peeking over anybody's head. If you have notes right now, I don't want you to write this with your notes. Just separate it out. Write it on another little spot because you probably want to throw it away when we're done with this. Okay? This is nobody else's business. This is not to indict anybody. I simply want to do this very quickly because I want you to just understand how valuable this is. Okay? This is going to take, I'm going to do 30 seconds because we're running short on time. I'm going to give you 4 different ones. So I'm going to give you 30 seconds each. Okay? Is that fair? You're like, fair what? We don't even know. Stopwatch. Okay. 30 seconds. I don't care if you use your Bible. I don't care if you use your phone. I don't care if you use your computer. Okay? 30 seconds. I want you to write down every verse you can about the one that's about. Go.
Just this reference or just the actual scripture?
No reference. Okay. That you can go to.
Do you want sticky notes for the others?
Stop.
Sorry? Do you want sticky notes? So you're going to do it 3 more times?
Yeah.
Do you want sticky notes? I got a whole pack of
them. No, I don't want them. They can tear this up. I just want them to know for themselves here. Reset. You ready? 30 seconds, right? All scriptures that have to do with baptism and Jesus' name baptism. Diamond's back there thanking God for Quizzy. Ooh, hallelujah. Stop. 30 seconds. All verses that you could think of that have to do with infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. Stop. One more. 30 seconds. Scripture you think of that deal with holiness. And time. Okay. Not asking for that. It's your business. This isn't about us. Whatever. I want you to see that because these are our foundations. Absolute foundations of what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And it's just, that's it. It's our foundation. Okay? And I venture to tell you right now that you don't know as many as you thought you knew. You know what you believe, but when it comes to saying, okay, hey, this is it, I'm walking somebody through and all the rest, it lets you know that I can be real specific and say, hey, where are the exact four places in the book of Acts where people spoke with other tongues? Some of you get it, some of you wouldn't. Some of you get close. But we should know this stuff. If this is what we believe, then we should know this stuff. It should be ingrained in us. It should be part of us. I should be proud to know it. I shouldn't know it because I want to be able to say I know it. I shouldn't know it because I want to say, Brother Booker, guess what I know? I should know it because if it's what I believe, okay? And Peter says, be ready always to give an answer of the hope that lieth within you. I know I have that verse in there somewhere. I think it's going to pop up here in a minute. But we got to be ready to give an answer. Somebody walks up and says, hey, what's different about you? Well, I go to the lighthouse. No, it's more than just church. I want to go to the lighthouse. That's it. Come here, my pastor. No, let me tell you what's different about me. I was lost and undone. I didn't know which way was up. And I found a place of repentance, like the scripture says. And God filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we can go through it. So, knowing and study is important. So, Four main purposes of study. There's general and specific. I couldn't figure these lists out, but I figured them out later. But that's fine. The general is, number one, why do we study? We want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know God. I want to know how He's going to deal with me in any given situation. How do I know that? I can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how He dealt with everybody else, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's how He's going to deal with me. I mean, it really is that simple. I want to know Him. I want to know His ways, number two. I want to know His plan. Okay? Some of you are working. Some of you aren't working yet. All of you at some point have helped and worked with somebody. But how do you like going to some sort of a job or whatever, you're going to go help somebody, and there's no plan, and nobody knows what's going on? Maybe it doesn't bother you because you don't have to do nothing. It flips me out. I freak out. You want to see me freak out? Let me show up to work somewhere and nobody knows what's happening. I'm going home. I'm out. Okay? I don't have time. I want to know what's going on. Well, same with the kingdom of God. If we understand know Him, we know His ways, and we know His plan, hey, guess what? I can work for the kingdom of God because I understand what's happening. You say, are you called? Called to what? Seeking to save that which is lost, I'm going to reach for people. So understanding and knowing Him, it's important. And then number four, ready to give an answer. And there's the verse, 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks if you have a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. I'm going to move through these kind of quickly, these next ones. 12 themes of the Bible. Old timer. I used to know who in my notes established this, and then I've heard our pastor take from it and then keep on going with these themes. You could pretty much narrow down the Bible into 12 basic themes. When you go into service tonight, just, no, whatever, this is just for fun, why don't you figure out what theme it fits in? Just, it'll fit in one of these 12 themes. I guarantee it will, because they're the themes of Scripture, okay? Doctrine, new birth, oneness, Holy Ghost, etc. Doctrine. Faith, number two, trust in victory, defeat, power. Hope in God and His Word, heaven, ultimate victory. Number four, love, God to us, ours to God, one for another. Grace, which is Calvary, atonement, the blood. Faithfulness, God to us to God, to each other. It's interesting how these coincide with, anyway, okay. Holiness, righteousness, sanctity, integrity. Worship, praise, thanksgiving, good times and bad. Evangelism, witnessing, revival, etc. Service, living, giving, consecrating, trusting. Judgment, heaven, hell, in this life, etc. Prophecy, second coming, millennium. Interesting also how many of those fall into different categories that are taught in this series, okay. And anyway, so 12 themes of Bible. Most of what you study will fall into those categories. So ask the question, how will personal study change your life and your walk with God? This is kind of where we want to head, and it's going to establish why we're going to do next week. Next week, I'll just tell you right now, it's going to be fun. We're going to get into how and just cool resources and seeing things come alive. Anyway, I will say this. I was getting ready to study for this last week. Then Sharon and I were coming back from somewhere. And I said, you know what's funny is I'm getting older. Getting old. I'll be 46 pretty soon here. And I know to you guys that's ages. That's fair. I remember when I first started dating, I'm chasing rabbits now. When I first started dating my wife, I remember thinking, oh, her dad's pretty old, and he was younger than I am now. So it's funny. Okay. Anyway, so I realize I'm getting old. Anyway, taught through some of this stuff. I don't know when we did the first discipleship.
2010.
2010, 5 years ago. Okay. And some of these young guys preaching, I can see I know, because I've done this part enough of ways to chase rabbits on subjects and say, okay, yeah, they use that. I love it, but I told my wife, that's, to me, that's neat. That's what it's all about, okay? And hearing people, you know, give Bible studies or whatever, they've dug into this or they've dug into that, use the resources, it's just fulfilling. It is, because you realize, okay, people are using this. So anyway, so next week is fun. But I want to establish why we need to go there, okay? Brother Preston's getting ready to hate me because I had some stuff this afternoon. Anyway, here we go. How personal study will change your life. 2 Thessalonians 2, it's not on the slide, apologize, 10, states it like this. And because they received not the love, everybody say love. Because they received not a love of the truth, that they might be saved. So these people, ready? Get the Holy Ghost. Going to church. Writing the book to the church of Thessalonica. Okay? He's talking to them. He says, hey, there's some that didn't receive a love for it. They got the Holy Ghost. They got the experience. But they never fell in love with truth. Well, what's truth? Truth is the Word of God. That's where we're getting truth from. So let's paraphrase it. We're not adding, taking away. Because they received not a love for the Word of God. Because they received not a love for knowledge of truth. That they might be saved. He then goes on to say, and for this cause, because of that, God shall send them a strong delusion. You say it like this. They receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and God's glad they're there. He's saying, now come on up. Come into knowledge. Come into truth. They're saying, no, I've gone far enough. This is where I want to stop. There's a danger there. Where's that line drawn? When does that happen? That's up to God. That ain't up to me. That ain't up to anybody. That's up to God. But it did happen. He said, all right, you want to play games, and you don't want to love truth, and you don't have a desire for knowledge, I'll send you a strong illusion. Then he says that they should believe a lie. You don't want to believe truth? I'll let you believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They still wanted to dabble in the things that they wanted to dabble in, and God allowed them to believe a lie. This is why, we're going to go through more of them, this is why studying and knowledge of truth is important. It's serious stuff. This is a serious issue. Romans 1:28 says it like this, and even as they did not like to retain, okay, that word retain is to hold fast or to keep. So if it's hold fast and keep, was it already there? Somebody, was it there?
Mm-hmm.
It was there. But because they didn't have a desire to keep it, where? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's where it was at. They did retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You want to know what happened when they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge? Romans gets real plain, real quick. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, and unmerciful. Now, anybody want to try to convince me that not retaining the knowledge of God is not serious business? Why don't you find me another scripture that is that adamant about something that all that stuff's going to happen to you if you don't do it? There's a couple, but you'll be hard-pressed. God's serious when it comes to the knowledge of God. He ain't messing around. He wants a people that say, God, I can never have enough of you. I want more knowledge. I want more understanding. I want to go deeper in you. So, it's important that we retain God in our knowledge. 2 Peter 1:9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We're going to see the verses prior to that in just a moment, but verse 5 talks about having knowledge. And he's saying, but they that lack these things, they that lack knowledge, they can't see afar off, they're blind. So you say, somebody receives the gift of the Holy Ghost, they have no desire to go farther in God. He's saying, they're blind. They can't see. Somebody's living for God, and they can't see where they're going. Now, I'm not being ugly. But it's sad to me that there's people that have lived for God for years and years and years, and they are in this mode right here. Because somewhere in their walk with God, they thought, I need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and come to church and sit and hear the preacher. No, you have a responsibility to dig out the Word of God and retain God in your knowledge and get knowledge. You have a responsibility. Now, I'm not saying you've got to study for 12 hours a day. We have lives. You guys got school. I got work. But there's got to be something in us that has a desire that says, God, I'm going to hold out a little bit of time for you. And He'll make the best of that time, and you will too. But if you don't plan on doing it, you ready? You won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You won't do it. That's human nature. If we don't say, hey, I'll swim, you won't do it. We'll come back in here this time next year and say, so how's everybody's devotions going? I'm going to start tomorrow. Cool. And we'll come back a year later and say, how's everybody? I'm getting ready to do it. It's like a diet. You got to do it. You got to plan on doing it and do it. Okay? I'm doing good on my diet. Okay, benefits. Let's go to the flip side of this. Let's go to the benefits. I'm tired about hearing about what's happening to people that aren't doing it. Okay? Benefits. We got just a few minutes. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." That's what I was talking about earlier. You read verse after verse. I preached a few weeks ago, and I'm making reference because I'm not in your head. I can't reference something that's happening in your brain, okay? But I preached a few weeks ago. I have read that verse hundreds of times in my life. And all of a sudden, one afternoon, I'm reading and it just comes alive. Boom! How does that happen? Word of God's alive. It's unsearchable. It's just, you can never plumb the depths of it. It's awesome, okay? Freedom and a way of escape. 2 Peter 2:20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's how they escaped.
Every week, don't worry. It's every week.
Wow.
I should have warned you, sorry. Just warm-ups.
Shut up. Okay. You guys know you wouldn't say it. Okay. Rather, they escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of God. So how did it happen? Through the knowledge of God, they escaped. Now, let me just tell you something right now. If you guys are at an age that you have never had to escape from something that's on your path living for God, then honey, you got something coming. Because it's going to happen. There's times you need a way of escape. You need help. You need God to come on strong in your behalf. It happens through the knowledge of God, is what the scripture says. Then it goes on to say, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. That's if they go back to it. Okay. So, John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth," and you guys all know this verse, "the truth shall
make you free.
By knowing the truth." The flip side of believe a lie. You'll gain grace and peace. 2 Peter 1:2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." How? Through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Jesus our Lord, it says. But it's through the knowledge of God. That's where we're getting this from. The beginning of that verse we read a minute ago, 2 Peter 1:5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Add to your virtue knowledge. These are things you're supposed to add in your life. To knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. This is the great verse right here. Verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, I mean, to me, this is the only way I know how to say it. If you don't have a desire for these things, I'm not being ugly, but just, can I ask it? Can I be blunt? Why are you here? Why are you going to church? What does it matter? We come because we want more of God. We come because we want God to strengthen us and give us direction. Guidance. This one, these two verses right here, I think, are just the pinnacle. Okay? 119:105 of Psalm says, "Thy word," okay? The Bible's right here. I'm going to take the time to get it. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." All of us are going down a path in life. We're all headed down a direction. I want to see where I'm going. And God's saying, this is it. This is the light that's going to show you. The next one, 119:111, is even better. It says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not." Everybody say not.
Not.
Not to help me get out of a situation. "That I might not sin against God." I've hid the word in my heart so I won't sin. That's how powerful this is. That's how unbelievable this is. Okay? I can see we better hurry quick, huh? Okay. Knowledge has to be protected. We'll move fast. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For weapons of warfare are not carnal, mighty through God, through pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing." And we think, okay, yeah, we've heard that preached on, and it's about weapons of our warfare, and we're going to go out there and we're going to fight a spiritual battle. Oh, yeah, we love it. But let's look at what it's talking about. It says that exalteth itself against the what? The knowledge of God. You say, how does something come against the knowledge of God? I am so glad you asked. Genesis 3, Garden of Eden, right after creation, Eve's in the garden. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, this is the first interaction of the devil with humanity. You guys with me? Anybody know what question he asked?
Say it.
Huh? Say it aloud. I have no idea. Hath God said? What's he doing? What had God said?
Don't eat the fruit.
Huh?
Don't eat the fruit.
He gave specific commands, and he starts trying to manipulate it. Oh, that's not really what he meant. He didn't mean to get baptized in Jesus' name. What he meant was, that's in 2019, you guys aren't reading it right, that with me, exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, knowing what truth, and then saying, wait, that's not really what it means. What's going to combat itself against that? There's only one thing that's going to combat itself against that. Knowledge. Knowing what you believe. This isn't what this class is about. I would never do it. But I'm just telling you. Okay? If we started doing individual debates right now, me and the press would start going through here trying to twist you guys up on doctrine. Okay? I'm telling you. You know pretty quick where you stand. Because there's a lot of spurious junk out there. Because the devil is still saying, hath God said, that's the way he does it. Hath God said? You know what false doctrine is? Hath God said? That's what it is. That's not really what that verse says. That's why it's important for us as apostolic saints of God to understand what the word says. You gotta know what the word says. Okay. Next week, we're gonna go through types of study. I'll go through them quickly because it gets deep quick. Then we're going to go through tools of study. Okay? Now, I don't want anybody feeling like, oh, I have to have whatever. We'll share, we'll do whatever. But if you have some kind of a, you can use a phone. We'll get you hooked on Wi-Fi, whatever we got to do. But next week, if you have a device, whether it's an iPad or a laptop or something access to, or your phone, or something. If not, no big deal. We'll have something here. But I'd love to go through with you and show you guys a bunch of resources next week. Okay? If you don't, don't stress. Don't go home and say, hey, we gotta have that next week. You gotta go buy me a new Mac Air. Okay? So, anyway. So, they do a quiz online now?
Yes.
Okay, so those are online. There's a quiz online of what we went through tonight, establishing why we need to study. Next week, we're going to go through how-to and stuff that we're going to have. Honestly, if you guys don't have fun next week, it's your loss because I'm going to have a blast.
Me too.
We'll have fun. And then, I don't know if you've read through your syllabus. What it is on the following, then you guys are going to have a homework assignment. I don't know if you guys have had homework yet. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. And this year, I've decided we're going to keep doing it the exact same way or do it a little bit different. Let me ask you guys this. You ready? We're going to study out subjects. It's fun. It's fun. You guys want to do it individually or you going to team up? You want us to split teams up or you guys want to do it individually?
Individual.
You guys want to do it individual? Okay. So we'll do individual. That's fine. Okay? Now listen. If we're going to do it individual, then I'm going to have him help me, and we're going to open it up a little bit more so it's not three subjects. Okay?
That's right?
Okay. And we'll open it up a little bit more. And then what we're going to do, though, is we're going to have a study session on that Saturday, right, prior to the next week class. All the resources that we have, my donuts or whatever, will come in here on a Saturday morning, I think it is, and we'll have all the resources. We'll have some computers set up, and you guys can use it as basically a study hall. And start doing your thing right then and be able to pull off those resources. We'll help you. I'll help you. This isn't about a pass-fail thing. It's about you guys learning how these resources work. I'll give you any resource I have. Try to answer any question you got. Brother Preston will be here and try to implement it. Go ahead.
Question.
Yes.
Can you
question. It says for 7 p.m. on Saturday, but what works better for you guys, morning or night?
Night.
Okay, that's the majority. Sorry. Okay. Is 7 o'clock at night work all right then? Or okay. Let's. Does that work with you?
Okay.
You're going to give us topics.
I am, because before
we're going to come here and study them together. That's.
You guys are not required. He may have extra credit points or something for you guys. As in the past, it hadn't been required that you were here. It's just open it up because some people, they say, okay, what this is about is not just studying the subject out, is basically facilitating, showing you guys, hey, here's a bunch of resources to be able to dig into something. So in coming, it helps you be able to see and say, hey, look at this. He may say, hey, try the Cyclopedic Index. I'm telling you, it'll blow that thing out of the water or whatever. Blue Letter will do this or whatever, the resource that we talked about. That's what that's all about. This isn't fair to Brother Preston right now because I kind of was thinking about this, but we'll solidify this by next week, okay? But if you have a subject that you think you would like to do, okay, then by next week, I'm not saying we'll say yes, because I don't want some goofball subject. But if it's something you think you would like to do, submit it to us by next week. You cool
sure.
with that?
Yep.
And then we'll make a decision. Okay? If there's something you're saying, hey, I'd like to study that out. That's what I want to put my time and resource to. Okay? But I'm just being blunt with you. I'm not telling you that we're going to say, yeah, because if it's, you know, about Enoch or Melchizedek or something, probably.
It might be interesting.
It might be, or it might not. So, anyway, so that's where we're headed with this. It's trying to get you guys in the mode where you can start digging through stuff and learning how to dig through and find ways that make it fun and serious. If it doesn't become alive and fun to you, you're not going to do it. It isn't going to happen. It's not. There may be somebody in here right now that says, oh, I don't like any study materials. I like just reading it right off the pages. I'm happy for you. I like digging around. So, there we are. Okay?
I'll just add to that. Don't just study your topic, whatever you get assigned. Don't just plan to study that on the workshop. Workshops can be that hands-on where we can explain the tools and it's going to be more valuable to you if you've already used some of those tools maybe ahead of time and you've got some questions about it. And then it'll be extremely valuable. But definitely you don't want to miss that workshop. It will be extra credit points for you. And it'll be excellent. Really, that's probably the meat of this whole class, really, is we're going to go through a lot of those
tools. Any resource we go through next week, we'll have here that day.
Yeah, so you can make your decision on what you want to purchase or the free materials you want to start using, etc. Thank you very much for that. Very good. All right, so go ahead and take a few minutes to do the quiz online, and you will also find the slides online for tonight. And next lesson is next week, so looking forward to that. God bless you.
You're awesome. Yeah, definitely.